Luke 19, we pick up within the context of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to the cross. Remember, it was in verse 31 of our last chapter. He gave the disciples the plan yet again. Repeatedly, he would give them the plan. Let me read verse 31 from chapter 18. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And the third day, he will rise again. So the disciples were given a detailed revelation about what was going to take place, soon going to take place. Yeah, if you look at verse 34, we see that they understood how many of these things? None of them. It was hidden from them at that time. Now, their failure to understand Jesus's mission didn't lessen the importance or the implication of what he was about to accomplish. Jesus was on his way to accomplish something that had been in the works since before the foundations of the world. And I think it would be an understatement to say that he took this time very seriously, as he took everything seriously. But he's heading to Jerusalem, to the cross. In Luke 9:51, we read of his determination, that there was a determination in him to go to Jerusalem. And in Isaiah 50, verse 7, speaking prophetically of him, it says that he had his face set like flint on his way to suffer. And I know that we know this in our heads, that he took the cross seriously, but I believe it's important for us to mark it down afresh in our hearts, just the intentionality with which Jesus journeyed to the hill of Calvary to lay down his life, to shed his blood for you and for me. And then what a special thing to see him along the way to this important event where he's going to give his life, continue to minister and to touch people, to teach and to touch and to heal. So that's one piece of context to keep in mind, that he's on his way to the cross. The other one I want us to be mindful of is our recent exhortation regarding the necessity of childlike faith. We've been talking about that for a couple of weeks now, but it is a must. It was in our study last week, we saw two real life examples of individuals who, in my opinion, help us understand the necessity of childlike faith. First, we had, remember, the rich young ruler, whose life, by the observation of many people, they would say his life was almost perfect. But he came to Jesus with something missing, and he seemed to know that Jesus had the answers. But remember, he wanted Jesus to tell him something that he could do to inherit eternal life, something that he could do. And he was a clear example of one not exercising childlike faith. And we won't go back through his story, but then we closed out the chapter with that determined blind man named Bartimaeus. And he just heard, that Jesus was coming through, and that's all he needed. He just began crying out for mercy and just threw himself, all that he had, into getting Jesus's attention. And Jesus, hearing him, he stopped and he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And again, our Creator, on the way to the cross, to this eternity-altering event, he stopped and asked this poor beggar, "What do you want me to do for you? How can I help you?" And all Bart has to do at this point is, with childlike faith, is just ask. And he was healed. And then we saw, after Jesus restored his sight in this man, I believe we saw just a heart for God, one who was in love with the Lord. And we get a sense that it was his absolute joy and privilege to travel along with Jesus and to honor him and to exalt him. He was just so excited to go with Jesus. And I was just thinking, that's a joy and a privilege the rich young ruler, he missed out on, because he was in love with himself and in love with his stuff. And it's very sad. Faith like a child, a requirement for salvation. Now, when you hear the word requirement for salvation, that should send up, requirement should always send up a red flag. Like, what? Are you telling me there's something required for salvation? That's good to wonder that. I'm glad that you would care. Now, the beauty of the call to childlike faith is that in that call, I believe it's purposed that we don't have the misconception that we're bringing anything to the table. If we have a different kind of faith that's not childlike, we think we're bringing something to the table. And the reason it's required is because children don't bring anything to the table. They just receive the gift with open hands, with joy. And so it's required. That's how we receive God's gift of grace, is just say yes. So, gladly receive the gift of grace. Now, why did we go through all that context? Well, as we pick up in chapter 19, we have a wonderful account of another life touched by Jesus, a man who has changed dramatically by the power of the gospel. And in this story, I believe we see again just the beauty and the necessity of that childlike faith. So be looking for that. And as that faith is exercised, I think this is so cool, we get to see the